Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm your host, Dr. Tremaine Clarity. This podcast is focused on all aspects in education that are happening right here in the Roane Area School District. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup, everybody. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer-Soderblom, VASD's Public Information Officer, here with our fantastic host and VASD Superintendent, Dr. Clarity.
Thank you, Marcy. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. And I was just talking with my dad earlier today about how many times I used AI just yesterday. So AI, or artificial intelligence, is influencing the world around us, including, of course, the educational landscape. In the VASD, we're engaging with thoughtfulness and intention, and we have clear knowledge that we're preparing students to thrive in a diverse global society, and that that includes knowing how to navigate AI. Today, Dr. Clarity is talking with VASD's Executive Director of Academic Services, Amy Engelkins, and VASD's Director of Educational Technology, Jason Rubo, about VASD's approach to understanding, balancing, and leveraging AI.
Thank you, Marcy. Once again, welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. We are extremely excited to be here today with two of the dynamic leaders in the Roane Area School District, and that's Amy and Jason. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Excellent. And as we know, every day in the Roane Area School District, every day is a great day to be a Wildcat. So as we get ready to move forward, we're going to go into the topics that you may have heard a little bit about in maybe the last 2 years, but definitely the momentum is here and it's here to stay. And that's artificial intelligence as we know it as AI. And as we think about what this means for education, who better than have our leader for academic services, Amy, and our leader for technology services, Jason, to talk about the importance of AI implementation in education, but especially from the voice of the superintendent. I also want to put this into the space right now so everyone knows and understands. AI will never replace the human relationship between our staff and students. It's a tool for innovation, it's a topic requiring digital citizenship and ethical guidance, and it can make our work more efficient, but it will never replace the human touch and approach that we have with relationship building with between our staff and students. So as we get ready to move forward, we're going to turn it over to Amy. Amy's going to talk about, you know, tell us about the educational approach to artificial intelligence. Tell us about, as you were explaining to someone on the streets, artificial intelligence and academics. How would you bring those two worlds together?
Well, thank you, Dr. Clarity, and thanks again for having us on the show. As you named, we certainly recognize the limitations of artificial intelligence and AI. We know it will never be a substitute for the amazing work that our educators do with our students each and every day here in the Roane Area School District. We also know that to help our students be prepared to thrive in a diverse global society, understanding how to use AI responsibly will be really important. So for our approach from a systems level, we've really been thinking about how do we ensure we have the policies and guidance in place to set everyone up for success to use AI responsibly and safely. Our steps so far have included creating codes of ethics for both staff and students, which really is our guidance around how do we use this tool safely. We also have modified our acceptable use policy around how we use technology, and we've updated our progressive response model to be reflective of the changing world and changing nature of AI, all with the goal of helping us to use AI in a safe and responsible way. We're confident with those pieces in place, then we can begin to leverage the tools to support our instructional goals and ultimately meet individual student needs.
Thanks for that response, Amy. Amy, you're besides being a dynamic professional here, you're also a mother, and we think about our families that are home, and they're having conversations with their children themselves around artificial intelligence. So, if you have that family hat on, what would you say to your kids as far as artificial intelligence and what you would want them to know?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Clarity. I think it's similar to some of the lessons we do with our students about digital citizenship. How are my students really thinking about being critical consumers of information? How do they know when they see a photo generated if that was produced by AI or if that's actually real? What are the questions that they're asking, and how do they know how to fact check something? As well as how can they see the benefits of those tools to save some of their time, stay organized, and help them in achieving their own goals.
I know we'll get to this a little bit later in the podcast, but you hit on some two very important words. And one you said directly, and the other one I'm just going to put in there for you. You talked about fact-checking, which is so important in what we do. But there was also a hint of talking about how do we make sure that bias isn't part of the response as well, or as part of the question. So I want to thank you for lifting it up. And I know I asked you that from the parent perspective, but I know what happens in profession as well, is that while it is a tool, we have to learn, it is exactly that. It's a tool. And with tools, there can be errors unless we're very intentional about how we think about it and understand that errors can happen if we use the wrong prompts, and some of the information is not always exactly the way that we put it out there, especially based off the timing of when you ask the question. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, Jason, we know that turning to AI, it's got to be a lot of professional learning and helping our educators have access to explore AI and how we approach it. So thinking about what I just said around making sure that we're fact-checking, but also the work that we're proactively doing to prepare our staff and our students, can you talk about the professional learning here in the Verona Area School District?
Yeah, so Verona Area School District staff, we're participating in some different statewide learning opportunities, including some roundtables on AI with some of the different CISAs throughout the state. Also doing some work with ASA, which is the Association of Wisconsin School Administrators, at a conference they recently had. We're also an active member of the Consortium of School Networking, or COSIN, which is a national organization supporting K-12 technology leadership. We are also part of a leadership academy called Leveraging Emerging Technology that is put on by ASA, WASBO, and WASDA, which are actually looking at examining AI guidelines and working with districts to kind of set those things in place to make sure that we are making sure that our staff understand those biases and making sure that we're approaching the use of AI in a responsible way. And also, we're creating our own guidelines to make sure that we have those things set in place. We've done a lot of work over these last 2 years with, you know, obviously hosting some professional development on some tools for our staff, but you know, and adding some language to our acceptable use policies. But this year is really going to be the year that we're kind of buckling down and creating those guidelines and taking the time that we need to make sure that that plan is set in place.
Excellent. And also, thank you for that, Jason. You also, we are beginning internal committee work as well.
Yes.
To ensure that we have the tools and we're training together. You know, mm-hmm. we'd like to consider ourselves a family here at the Verona School District, and as we're learning two things, no better way to do it together. Can you talk a little bit about the committee and how that will enhance the learning for all as it cascades into our buildings?
Yeah, the committee is actually made up of a few administrators and some staff. So we actually have Dr. Clarity, Amy, myself, and then we have a couple of principals in the district, Mr. Cox, we have Ms. Marcourt, and then Mrs. Parks over at Glacier Edge, New Century VIS, and then our high school. And then we have one of our coaches, Rita Mortensen, that are coming together as part of that academy group that we are meeting both virtually and in person, as I said, with other school districts, but then also coming together in between those meetings to plan out our year and then also future years as well, because we don't want this to just be a one-time thing. This is a tool to embed into our teaching and learning framework, tie it within the standards, and so we know that that's something that we really want to be passionate about and make sure that it's done right. So.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And as we think about what we all know, but I want to put into the space again, the magic of education always happens in the classroom. So as we think about how this will unfold in the classroom, what is the overall potential for AI, mm-hmm. which I know is a broad question because it can go mm-hmm. forever. But as we think about our starting point and where we would like to go this year and possibly into next year, what is the potential for AI and how will it complement what's already very strong teaching practice in the Verona Area School District?
Yeah, I think about, you know, the ways that you can utilize AI to, you know, personalize engagement within the classroom. You know, I think, you know, I was on this podcast before talking about AI, and I think I made the joke, but not really the joke, but, you know, being the lonely Chicago kid up here in Wisconsin and, you know, being able to go and, you know, make something for, you know, a math worksheet and the theme of the Chicago Bears and this Packer world up here. You know, being able to find that kid with interests and use AI to quickly, you know, create something that connects with something that they're interested in. And, you know, going and being able to create collaborative applications with AI, creating different tutor bots that can go and take a standard that you're working on and have something that's there and ready for the students. And this is, you know, obviously things that are all out there, but, you know, it's all at the tip of your fingers. Being able to go and take an assignment that is there and easily within seconds translate it to, you know, 50 to 100 different languages just at the touch of a button that might not be available with what is out there right now. So,
so this is the danger of giving me a live mic. So as a Bears fan,
it's tough.
Can AI help you with the consistent disappointment? Like, is there any tools that help with that?
It's tough. I got to see him win the Super Bowl when I was 1 year old, and that might be the only one I get. So.
And they made it to another one after that, didn't they?
No, yeah. Just the one. No. Cutler didn't help us. No. Oh, yeah. Win a Super Bowl. Yes.
I'm sure AI could help you create some images to visualize it would look like if the Bears were to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting image. So just mess with you, Jason. And to any Bear fans out there, and my wife is one, that's why I like to do it. Yes. You know, as a person that was raised in the state of Texas, I have nothing to brag about myself right now. So trust me, I get the heartache.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back into AI. As we think about our work moving forward, Amy, I want to go back to you on this. Once again, I want to emphasize to our listeners that we're talking about AI as a complementary resource to enrich teaching and learning. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of the ways we are going to be able to enhance some of our instructional practices as well?
Sure. Just as you noted, we can't replace the magic in the classroom that comes from those relationships that our students build with educators and the sense of belonging that we look to foster within our classrooms. We also know we have rigorous and very thorough processes for selecting curricular resources, and we don't plan for AI to replace those resources either. When you mentioned bias previously, our curricular resource process looks to make sure that we're eliminating as much bias as possible in doing that. And so we don't want to circumvent those really important processes when we're choosing our instructional resources. At the same time, we do think about using AI effectively to individualize those opportunities for students. So similar to Jason talking about loving the Bears, we might have another student somewhere that loves the Bears as well, and we can use AI to craft a social story to help that student, maybe with their favorite Bears player, think about what is the routine for getting on the bus each day. We've used AI within our staff professional learning. All staff are engaged in the same article, but they get to choose whether they listen to a podcast, engage with a Q&A app within the AI platform, or use an AI-generated mind map. People can make sense of that learning through whatever tool they want, and yet then they all have built an understanding to come back together and collaborate at the table. Right? Again, that sort of collaboration we don't expect AI to replace, but it can provide some of the tools to help create the conditions to make that a bit easier. So while we know that AI has its limitations, we look forward to continuing to find the opportunities to leverage it where it's possible to really individualize those opportunities for our staff and our students.
Thank you for that, Amy. And, you know, AI is a tool that's here to stay, and you know, and it'll always be the next thing. You know, it was from calculators to the internet, and now and the one thing that we know each time that is undoubtedly increased is speed. Mm-hmm. You know, the speed in which we can get information, the speed in which we can put information into a system and get a response simultaneously. In education, you know, one of the things that we're always looking for in knowing the complexity of the work that we do is how do we find more time? Mm-hmm. And if you think about how those two worlds can come together, are there ways that we already know that artificial intelligence can really support the efficiency of what we do as educators to really give us that time that we seek to go deeper into the work with our students?
Yeah, so I think that there's several different ways that we've leveraged AI so far, and we have teacher work groups that are experimenting with how to do that in really efficient ways. So a few aspects that we've heard from our teachers this year, just experimenting with some of the tools available. One was creating guided notes for students. Mm-hmm. So we've already used our rich curricular resources, and perhaps for a specific student, having some guided notes to follow along or prompts might be useful for them. And so The teacher is able to generate those via AI, certainly go through the process to check the facts and to vet the content that is there, but one way to streamline that and increase access for our students as a part of that. We also know within our PLCs, using AI to sort data, to determine themes from that data, can reorganize it in ways that then allow teachers to spend more of their time talking through the collaboration of what are our next instructional moves and what will this look like in our lesson plan. So again, not a replacement, but a way to make us more efficient so we can spend more time on what we believe is more impactful for our students.
Yeah, and I think of, and depending on the grade band that it's being used at, like as a, my wife being a, she stays at home with our kids now, but as a former elementary teacher, she loved being able to, create songs for her classroom and, loved incorporating singing. And I remember seeing her just at home writing song lyrics for kids about the lesson they were working on, or if there was a kid's birthday coming up and writing something to connect with the child in the class. And the fact that, teachers are able to go and utilize AI as a tool to do those things and help them with those things as a way to, like I said, almost bring that entertainment aspect that helps those students as another way to reinforce the learning in the classroom that, like I said, I'd see my wife spending sometimes hours at home writing song lyrics about a math lesson they were learning in class just to teach the kids about order of operations, because she didn't want to just use something she heard on YouTube. She wanted to make something specific. And, and so being a tool that is there even for our youngest learners as well.
Excellent. That's a great example as well. And I'm going to stay with you, Jason, as we think about artificial intelligence. And as the whisper started to come out, maybe it's been here for a long time. Let's get that. But I think we started to hear more about it maybe about 3 years ago, where it started to come to life. And some of the initial, you can tell the fear, mm-hmm. and some of those initial questions. And it wasn't how are we going to appropriately use this? How are we going to block it? Or how are we going to keep it out of our schools? And we really want to shift that mindset, because if we were to think that way, we would not be preparing our students to thrive in a diverse global society, because AI is an integral part of a diverse global society, and it's here today, stay, and it'll great gain momentum. Mm-hmm. So as thinking about it, we also have the responsibility to make sure that we create good digital citizens, and AI is a part of that. So in thinking about what does it mean to use AI responsibly and to be a good digital citizen, and then what are some of the strategies we are using here in the Brunner School District?
Yeah, I think, obviously teaching that, AI should never be as a tool that is here, create this, and now I'm going to right away use it and not check things, right? So making sure that we are, fact checking everything, making sure that if you have the ability to include sources in anything so that you obviously can go back and make sure that those sources are correct, making sure we're doing those things. Also making sure that when it comes to, information, making sure that we're keeping that safe so that we're not uploading, data to just any AI engine, making sure that we're utilizing safe ones, just because there's a ton of tools out there. So making sure that we're using ones that have been vetted. I can use needle nose pliers to take a bolt off of a screw, right? But it's not the best tool for the job, right? So making sure that I'm using ones that have been vetted. And then also, when it comes to actually using the tool the right way, a lot of times when people go into using AI chatbots, they use it the same way they use Google when it comes to a search engine, and then they might get upset with what they're getting out of it is not what they expected. So teaching staff and even students, like, the proper way to utilize prompting, right? So that it really should be a conversation that you're having with AI, that if you don't get what you want out of it the first time, you're asking it another question, and teaching yourself the right way to actually start the conversation so that you get a better response. And that actually helps a lot with a lot of those biases that you get, but you still need to go in and check the facts and everything.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It maybe it's just me, or the nicer that I quote unquote talk to AI, the nicer the response is.
Yeah.
Back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of universal for everybody here at the table?
Yeah,
I've noticed that for sure.
I don't know if you saw, though, it costs them money, though. It costs by yes, you saying thank you, it costs them like millions of dollars more a year. So
really, I please and thank you every prompt, every time, and because I want to please and thank you in society. So I think anything that comes out should be generated with that, with that mindset. But really, thank you for that response, Jason. And what I also want to assure our listeners that are really thinking about it, we will continue to research and learn more along the way. This isn't a one-stop shop. We will, as the tools change and as we learn more, you'll probably see the language within our own digital citizenship, which is not an easy word to say, be fluid as we try to make sure that we are putting protections out there, but also making sure that access is appropriate, especially in grade level bands that we're working through. So as we think about the kind of our final messages to our families, Amy, I'm going to come back to you. And if you're thinking about our students, families, and our staff, what are we thinking about as our next steps? And Jason, please feel free to jump in there as well.
Yeah, so as we started with, I think the work that we've done in trying to align our policies and ensure that we can create the sort of environment for students and staff to understand and use AI responsibly has been a really important first step for us. I think the next step is that we are continuing to gather teacher voice and experience to better understand what's important to them. We have a teacher work group that's running right now that has given us a lot of feedback about this tool is helpful, maybe this one not so much, maybe we should be trying these sort of prompts or beware of this. And that sort of data is really important as we continue that commitment that you named, Dr. Clarity, to continue learning and knowing that this is ever evolving work. So we have one teacher work group at the moment, but are looking to create that at other levels and continue providing professional learning. We know that given the ever-changing nature of this work, that will not stop. We are committed to continuing to refine and enhance along the way. I think from the student perspective and for our families, we'd be eager for you to engage with your student and about conversations around the digital citizenship lessons that we are providing for students, helping them to think critically about what are they seeing, images in the media, or what are they noticing when they're exploring online or using some of these different tools, and how can they be fact-checking, where might there be bias, and how do we really make sure that we keep students safe in an ever-evolving digital environment.
Excellent.
Yeah, the only thing I say it, just with everything with tech and, you know, it's just growing at such a fast rate. You know, it's just one thing we always strive to do is just trying to stay on top of everything that comes out. Because as you said, this is, everything's always in draft form, because as soon as you think you have something, then there's an update to something or there's a new product that's out and that now might tweak some of the language that we have and to bring a better experience to our staff or to our students. And so just making sure that we're staying on top of it. But I know as a parent myself, it's one of those things that my kids are only 6 and 3, but I just think about the ways that the AI is going to be there for them when they're older. Like, that's probably the same way my parents or my grandparents are thinking about my parents when calculators were, correct, you know, and now my parents thought with cell phones for me, and, you know, it's, now AI is the thing I'm going to be thinking about with my kids. So
absolutely, it's a great response. Mm-hmm. And so as we close out today, I just want to put one thought in our audience's head as we call it a wrap here on In the Loop with the Soup. You know, technically, we could have put a prompt into AI and say, hey, create a podcast about what the Vernonia School District thinks about artificial intelligence. And it probably would have popped out a, okay, 25-minute podcast. But we obviously don't do that because nothing will replace the authentic voice of staff that are knowledgeable about the content. And most importantly, all of us speak our truth through the heart. And that's the one thing that AI can't replace, is the heart work that we do here in the Vernon Area School District. So we will continue to use it in partnership, but remember to continue to leverage our dynamic staff, who are the reasons that our scholars thrive every single day. So with that, we'll close it out and turn it on to Marcy.
Excellent. Thank you again, Jason and Amy, for joining us today. And as we explored AI, we learned that the world of AI is vast. So thank you for highlighting a few different components of it today, and especially how that impacts education, and for helping our listeners learn about how we approach AI here in the Verona Area School District. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time on In the Loop with the Soup.